Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
I want to talk a little bit about routines. The one that we speak about most when it comes to children is the routine of going to bed, the nighttime, bedtime routine. We talk about sleep hygiene as well. That's a language that's been bandied around. And the whole idea around talking about nighttime routine is parents need to have children to go to sleep, to have them get into bed and be able to relax sufficiently to fall asleep, because parents also need to get on with their evenings, and children need sleep. And it's more important even with children who are struggling at school or have ADHD or autism or whatever diagnosis they have, because sleep detoxifies the brain. Sleep, what else does it do? I don't even have the list in my head in terms of what sleep does, but it is a powerful tool for regulation the next day. So I would lean into, or I'm leaning into, James Clear's work around stacking of habits. He wrote the book Atomic Habits, which is a huge bestseller, and it was so well received that it continues to be referred to and has become such a great body of work. But one of the things he talks about, or the thing I want to tap into, is this idea of stacking of habits. So the brain looks for routine. Our brains look for the easy path. And we look for what is coming next. We are predictors of the future. We're looking for it. We're looking for trouble. We're looking for how do I respond to something? We're looking for predictability. And makes life easier, takes stress away. And a nighttime routine, if you have a catalyst for your nighttime routine, whether it's dinner or pack away your homework or reading to your child, whatever the start of your routine is, if you can build a routine that we have these 5, 6, 7, let's say call it 7 things that need to happen from, okay, we now think about nighttime routine to falling asleep, and you continue to do that every single night, the nervous system, the child's nervous system, brain, part of the nervous system, their whole being will love it, because it creates a feeling of safety. And it creates this idea of one thing leads to the next, becomes anticipatory. So there's no shocks, no surprises. The first thing happens, then the second thing happens. And then the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, I fall asleep. Okay, the next night, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the next night, the same. And not just the brain, but the whole body starts to feel comfortable with, this is the way things work. This is my normal. And remember, our normal can be a catastrophic event. It can be a terrible routine or out of routine. If our normal is our things being out of routine, then we seek things being out of routine. We seek the chaos that we see to be normal. Why would you want chaos to be normal for your child? Especially when it comes to sleep. What kind of sleeper do you want your child to be when they're 25 or 30, when they've got a family and a job? Do you want them to get good sleep? Now is the time to create it. But I don't just want to talk about sleep. I want to talk about how we can create predictability for our children around change and transition, which is an important topic when it comes to children with something like ADHD or autism. Because we know our autistic kids struggle with transitions. And because they struggle with transitions, we need to give them the best possible route to transition from one thing to another. And sleep, nighttime, is a transition from wake and day to night and sleep. It's a simple transition. The same as the morning routine. It's a transition from I wake up, from sleep time, to getting ready for school, going to school. So if we can keep the routine the same, and we can practice that every single night. So as a young parent, I came across this information and I thought, okay, great. If I can keep the 1 through 7 always in that order, I can potentially always get them to fall asleep, or almost always. You know, if they're sick or they had a bad day, that throws things out. But typically, if I can start at 1, make that my trigger action or trigger habit, the actions or the tasks of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 automatically fall almost like dominoes. And then they naturally move into the sleep state and hopefully fall asleep and stay asleep. Now, there's lots of other factors, and we could need that. Your child might need melatonin, and your child might need all sorts of other things. Now, that talks about sleep hygiene, but I'm talking specifically about routine. Now think about a morning routine. If you could have the trigger thing that kicks them off every single morning, and then have the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, or however many there are, and until you get to school, and then we're done, and I get in the car and I leave. And in the beginning, it's going to be so hard because it's not automated. But the more you do it, every single time, you don't deviate from the routine. You can deviate in terms of when you start it. Sometimes my kids used to fall asleep at 9 o'clock at night if we were out at a function. That's okay. I still started with number one. When I knew nighttime bedtime routine needed to start, I started with number one, the first trigger. And sometimes number one, let's say it was dinner out at somebody else's house. But I'm recognizing that's number one. Now, where's number two coming? Maybe number two was bath. Okay, so number two is not going to happen when we're out. So as soon as we get home, bath kicks off number three, kicks off number four, five, six, seven, my kids are asleep. Sometimes one through seven happens really fast within a 20-minute period. Other times one through seven happens over an hour or two. But keep the routine going. So if you're looking at your life and you're looking at the transitions that your child is struggling with from home to school, from school back to home, from daytime to nighttime, from nighttime to daytime, from my house to granny's house, from playing to homework, from homework to playing, from playing to the dinner table, all of those things are transitions. Can you create a series of activities that get done or tasks that get done that prepare your child for the move, for the change, and get done so regularly that as soon as they find that first trigger, that first thing happens, that stacking of habits that James Clear talks about, they just fall like dominoes and they get to the end of the transition beautifully. But it takes practice. And typically developing children or neurotypical children, that routine might get in place within 2 to 3 weeks. Our neurodiverse children might take 2 to 3 months to get that routine into their system. Often they are dealing with stress situations. They have got high cortisol. They really are battling a number of other things, cascade of things. So we might need to do it for a lot longer, but it's definitely worth it. Because remember, not only are we trying to get them to sleep or get them to school, we want to teach them the skill of how to transition. And we want to give them abilities to transition, not just now, but into the future. Are they going to be able to manage transitions more easily and with less pushback to themselves when they're adults because they learned how to put a routine in place when they were younger? When they're really young, you setting up the routine, you putting in place, you driving it. As they get older, you can start talking to them about, do you notice how we do this in order? Do you notice how this helps you to fall asleep? Oh, yes, I see that it helps. Great. Do you notice how we do it here as well? Where else can we do it? Where else might you be struggling? And that's a conversation to have with your 12, 13-year-old. But it starts with you as the parent putting something like this in place. There are many other things you can look at in terms of transition, but I think this is something to really give it a go. See if it can really help you out.